Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great Emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganges, awaiting death without taking food or drink, purport by His Divine Grace. All transcendental messages are received properly in the chain of disciplic succession. This disciplic succession is called parampara, unless therefore Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literatures are received through the parampara system, the reception of knowledge is not bona fide. Vyasadeva delivered the message to Sukadeva Goswami, and from Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami received the message. One should therefore receive the message of Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami or from his representative and not from any irrelevant interpreter. Emperor Parikshit received the information of his death in time, and he at once left his kingdom and family and sat down on the bank of the Ganges to fast until death. All great sages, rishis, philosophers, mystics, etc., went there due to his imperial position. They offered many suggestions about his immediate duty, and at last it was settled that he would hear from Sukadeva Goswami about Lord Krishna. Thus the Bhagavatam was spoken to him. Sripad Shankaracharya, who preached Mayavada philosophy and stressed the impersonal feature of the Absolute, also recommended that one must take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, for there is no hope of gain from debating. Indirectly, Sripad Shankaracharya admitted that what he had preached in the flowery grammatical interpretations of the Vedanta Sutra cannot help one at the time of death. At the critical hour of death, one must recite the name Govinda. That is the recommendation of all great transcendentalists. Sukadeva Goswami had long ago stated the same truth, and at the end, one must remember Narayana. That is the essence of all spiritual activities. In pursuance of this eternal truth, Srimad Bhagavatam was heard by Emperor Parikshit, and it was recited by the able Sukadeva Goswami. And both the speaker and the receiver of the message of Bhagavatam were duly delivered by the same medium. Please repeat. Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, in his turn delivered the Bhagavatam to the great emperor Parikshit, who sat surrounded by sages on the bank of the Ganges, awaiting death without taking food or drink. Om Ayan Timurandasya Janana Sakalaya Chakchum Milidum Sena Tasmi Sri Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nishti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskacha Desatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. kapatarubhyascha kripasindubhayevyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So, I think many of you were up late last night, wasn't it? So I need to get a cough thing out because sometimes I start coughing. So I just like to be prepared because sometimes it can interrupt my ability to speak. I always feel so grateful to Srila Prabhupada when I'm here at Bhaktivedanta Manor because it is such a wonderfully unique place in all of ISKCON, even in the whole world. Such a wonderful place. I was being told some of the little behind-the-scene pastimes when the big fight for the manor was going on, and I was told that there was this Plan B in action in case by some inconceivable chance that, you know, we lost battle and we would lose the manor to worship, that we wouldn't be able to worship here. So the Plan B was like find another place, you know, find another place nearby with land and a suitable building and not so many neighbors, etc. So that did not happen. Thank God. But still, at any time, we have to be thinking, you know, how to serve and not wait for some calamity to happen and then suddenly be caught short-handed. But because Prabhupada was so much appreciation and affection for Shriman George Harrison for donating this place, and he felt it was a perfect place to worship Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. And he had so much great attachment to Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we are in a very deeply sacred place because a place becomes holy or sacred by the presence of the sadhus or the presence of the saintly persons. And by Srila Prabhupada's ongoing eternal presence, this place is not only very sacred and very holy, but it becomes more so as the years go by. So the verse starts speaking about the importance of receiving the transcendental message in the chain of disciplic succession. Last time in my brief presentation, I mentioned this point about disciplic succession, that it was something that Prabhupada brought to our attention immediately, right away. It wasn't something that we as Westerners were used to. In fact, we kind of had an opposite mood, that if we were given something, we tried to see what we could do to change it and, you know, see how many different versions we could come up with. You know, that was kind of a mood of Western mentality. One time in Los Angeles, the devotees repainted the altar for whatever reason. They changed the color of the altar, and they thought Prabhupada was going to be, you know, pleasantly surprised. And he was surprised, but he wasn't so pleasantly surprised. He commented that this is your Western disease, always changing, always changing. So this concept, disciplic succession, is called the parampara. And it's pointed out that therefore the Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature, they're received through this system. And Prabhupada, he says, if it's not received through this system, then it's not bona fide. So he taught, Srila Prabhupada taught this Vedic process of transmission of knowledge. He quoted this verse, Yasa devi parabhaktir yata devi tatagaru. Tasyate Kita Hi Arta Pakasanti Mahatmanaha. He quoted this verse in so many lectures and in so many verses of the Bhagavatam. In the purport, this is quoted. In so many verses of Bhagavad Gita also it is quoted, as it is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very important verse that, and to the great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed. So Srila Prabhupada was one such soul with implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and implicit faith in Vedic knowledge, implicit faith in the Bhagavatam, implicit faith in the Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna to Arjuna face to face. He had implicit faith in Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his teachings. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada became the greatest proponent of the message of Mahaprabhu all over the world. It is the achievement that sets him apart from any other personality in the line of disciplic succession, that he alone broke the barrier of India being all in all and took the holy name and the teachings of Mahaprabhu, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., outside of India to every country all around the world, practically speaking. So in doing this, you know, it's something that stands to his credit and can never be replaced, or it can never be, as they say, topped. Just like, I think this year they had some Olympic Games, somewhere there, Winter Olympics. So in these type of, you know, competitions, the whole competition is to break the record of the previous persons, or even break your own record. You know, but Srila Prabhupada has set an unbreakable record. And in fact, he invited us to be part of that record. He told us, Lord Chaitanya has said, my name will be chanted in every town and village all over the world. And all over the world didn't mean just all over India. It meant all over the world. So Prabhupada said, why not take the credit? You know, get out and do that. Take the credit. So there are three different kinds of evidences. There's direct perception. There's evidence from the Vedas. And there's evidence from history. And according to the Vedic system, Shruti Pramana, if the statement is there in the Shruti, in the Vedas, then we can accept. So, on this particular chapter 3, I was looking up to see if Prabhupada might have spoken on this chapter, and if so, maybe he had spoken something about the verse I got today, because that's kind of my go-to shelter when I have to give a class. He did speak a lot in this chapter, actually, in Los Angeles. Was from 1 to about 23 or 33, he spoke daily on this chapter. Then there was a little break, and then toward the end there was another part where he spoke. A couple of verses, I think 38 and something else. And I was just glancing over, I didn't have time for a deep read, but just kind of glancing to see, you know, what he was saying. And he was making this point about, even though this verse is directly pushing the point about the parampara, he was also making this point in other ways in the verses that he spoke about. So according to the Vedic system, the Shruti Pramana, if the statement is there in the Shruti, in the Vedas, then we can accept it. And he said that he was telling about how in India there's a society and they're called the Veda Pramana. And they say, well, we cannot accept it if it's not mentioned in the Vedas. And Prabhupada said, he commented, that is nice. But then he said there's another class who are described in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself, the Veda Vadarata. And Prabhupada said, these people, they simply unnecessarily fight on the basis of so-called Vedic knowledge. So then he commented, Vedic knowledge must be understood from the guru. That is the injunction, he said. And these people defy that. And we can understand today that it is also that same fighting mentality against, and guru means authority, right? It's authority. So really they're fighting not specifically on a guru, they're fighting against authority. So still, Prabhupada says, Vedic knowledge must be understood from guru. That is the injunction. And the Vedic injunction is tadvikya namartam sadguru meva abhigashet. So from Mukunda Upanishad, to understand the Vedas, you must approach a guru. Otherwise, we can't understand. So it's like, it's emphasized, you must. And just like it's forbidden to become a brahmana, it's forbidden that without becoming a brahmana, nobody should read Vedas. The reason being because without having that brahminical qualification, we're not talking brahminical birth, but qualification, one cannot understand. We see quite often when we're trying to preach to someone or speak to someone about some of the teachings, the wonderful teachings that we have, that they're a little argumentative. And their arguments are generally based on speculative concepts that they may have come across, or just their own minds. Their own minds can't accept what is being taught. And Prabhupada said this is because they can't understand. So unless one is qualified brahmana, unless one has approached another qualified brahmana who knows, there is no question of understanding Vedas. In third canto, 25:25, it's mentioning this point about sadhu sangha, and in the need of sadhu sangha in order to become Krishna conscious. And he said the first point is one must approach a devotee, but then he qualifies a devotee who is practicing devotional service. So one who is practicing, one who is learned, then these persons, and one who has accepted the authority of the Vedas and Guru, then these persons are able to speak to other persons, and hopefully in a way that other persons can understand and accept. He gave an example. So he said, unless one's qualified brahmana, unless one has approached another qualified brahmana, there's no question of understanding. And then he gave an example of Max Müller. So Max Müller, he was a person who was German-born. He was a philologist and an orientalist. And he lived and studied here in Britain. But and he stayed here most of his life. And he was the founder, he's considered the founder of the Western academic field of Indian studies and the discipline of comparative religion. He's the one who started it. But he translated Vedas. And in Prabhupada's comment, what does he know about the Vedas? Such kinds of translations, understanding by translation, Prabhupada said, are useless. Because he didn't go through proper channel. He didn't hear from a realized soul, a devotee of Krishna. So this tad vinyanartam sadurum eva abhigashet. So Prabhupada says this abhigashet means he must, one must. It's not that I may or I may not. You must, if you're really serious, approach a guru and take shelter of a guru. And he said, this is our Vaishnav parampara. He said, Vaishnav parampara is Vedic parampara. So to enter into spiritual life, the first thing is to accept a guru. And then he was mentioning how we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and it's Vyasadeva's literature. He heard from Krishna, and he wrote. Just like I was mentioning last night, how Srila Prabhupada explained how it was he was able to write these purports. He explained that when he sat down, he said, with paper and pen to write, Krishna came and dictated to him, and he simply took that dictation. And when you consider this point, it's completely, at least for me, this is astounding. Because you get Bhagavad Gita spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. You know, when people try to portray Krishna as impersonal, what is their explanation that the impersonal, non-existing, was standing in front of Arjuna face to face and they were talking, they were having a conversation? That's a person, it's not an imperson. And devotional service, bhakti, is offered or performed to a person, not an imperson. So Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee of Krishna, who has followed the instructions of Krishna by accepting a guru, rendering service and inquiring submissively, rendering service unto him, he is also heard from Krishna directly. And the purports that we are reading, these Prabhupada one point is described, they're illuminations. So these purports, these illuminations, when you think about it, are quite magnificent. Krishna is speaking the Gita, and then he's speaking it again to Prabhupada so he could write his purports. The Bhagavatam purports coming from Krishna to Prabhupada to us is pretty direct, really. You know, we sometimes think of this parampara system way down, you know, beyond our imagination and time. And yet here was Prabhupada a few short years ago translating and writing these beautiful purports with the direct assistance of Lord Krishna. So there's no possibility of producing such literature by any scholar these days, Prabhupada made this comment, considering all of the literature and compiled by Srila Vedavyas. If he was just a scholar, that's not possible. Vedavyas accepted a guru, Narada Muni, and after compiling, you know, we know the story, he compiled the Vedas, he compiled the Puranas, he compiled Vedanta Sutra, and still he was not feeling self-satisfied. Prabhupada described that he was feeling morose, and at that time of feeling morose, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, came and he was out with it. What's wrong? Why are you morose? You've done such a nice literary work, so why are you not very happy? And Vedavyas revealed that, yes, I'm actually not happy, but I can't understand why I'm not happy. So, addressing his spiritual master, you know everything, so kindly describe why I'm not happy. And Narada then gave his wonderful reply and instruction. All the literature that you have made so far, they're with reference to the body and the mind. You have not described nicely about the Supreme Soul. You have so now described something about the Supreme Lord, about the Supreme Soul, and that will make you happy. So we can also understand if we are not feeling ourselves very happy in the process of Krishna consciousness, that perhaps we need to make a stronger effort at connecting with the Supreme Lord and with the Supreme Soul, because that will make one happy. So Prabhupada said, this is the history of the Bhagavatam, that Vyasadeva's mature contribution was a mature contribution. Yesterday it was described as, you know, that the classic cream, the cream of the Vedic literature, this word saram, and it would say saram, saram, you know, the cream of the cream. Sometimes they say creme de la creme. It means, you know, not just any old cream, but the top of the cream. I think here in England you're still able to get that. You get the milk bottle, you'd see the milk, and then there would be a layer of cream, and at the top of the cream would be the cream of the cream, and it was a little yellowish in color, and that was very opulent, very prized. So this message of the Bhagavatam, very opulent, very detailed, very prized. So then he began writing. His mature contribution was a Vedanta Sutra, and from that Vedanta Sutra, he began writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Janmadiya Shalyata, the beginning, the beginning of Toba Mahajigyasya. And from that compilation, we are having this great gift of transcendental knowledge. And Prabhupada said that the human life should be engaged inquiring about the absolute truth. And one should inquire from a person who has heard the absolute truth from a realized person. And therefore it's called Shruti, Parampara, disciplic succession. We sometimes can argue, well, who among us, or is there anyone out there nowadays who is qualified? And unless Prabhupada was completely impotent, we have to say, yes, there are qualified persons out there to deliver this message of Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada also said that anyone can be qualified if they simply hear and repeat without adulterating or changing. He gave the example of an electrician, so a master electrician. And you may have this apprentice, Shri Radha Gokulananda Kijai. So he may have his apprentice. An apprentice is not a master electrician. But the master electrician is telling the apprentice, you do this, you do that. And if the apprentice follows correctly, the results will be there, the same as if the master had done the job. So in the same way, we were told to just simply repeat what you have heard from me. So if we hear nicely and we repeat nicely, the effect will be there. But if we don't hear nicely and we repeat something else, then one cannot expect the same effect. So this is the parampara, is that you do not change, you do not adulterate, you do not omit. You know, sometimes you're reading something, it's a little tough, but it's there, you have to say it, you know. So Vyasadeva was hearing from Narada. Narada was authorized. He had heard from Brahma. Brahma had heard from Krishna, this parampara system. Prabhupada mentioned the four sampradayas, Brahma sampradaya, Madhava sampradaya, Ramanuja sampradaya, Ruja sampradaya. He said the Ruja sampradaya and Sri sampradaya, they're the same. The Brahma sampradaya and the Madhava sampradaya. He said the same. Sometimes we say the Madhava Brahma sampradaya, referring to our particular Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Krishna recommends evam para para praptam imam radarsyo vidu, that this is the system. We should receive knowledge by the bona fide parampara system. Otherwise, Prabhupada wrote, otherwise it may be bogus, because without the parampara system, we cannot understand the actual facts. In other words, it can be some deviation. And if we're not aware of what is the truth, how it was spoken, then there can be deviation. Just like sometimes you're driving somewhere and maybe you don't have your GPS available. So you ask some directions. Now, if you're lucky, you'll get somebody who knows and he'll tell you the right directions. But sometimes people don't know, but they don't tell you they don't know. They'll say, well, I think that. And the minute I hear I think that, I say thank you very much and move quickly down the road. You know, they'll speculate. And if you follow that speculative direction, maybe you'll get lucky, maybe not. You might end up even more lost. You might not even know where you are at the end of the trip. So this is the beauty of the properly utilized parampara system. When we're very careful to hear and repeat, then no matter your status, you can remain assured that you're in a safe situation and you will not mislead others. So Prabhupada said, if you're actually eager and anxious to understand the spiritual science, then you must approach a guru. And of course, Krishna is saying the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. This Tajmadgurum Papadeyata Jityasu Shreya Uttamam, this is from 11th canto, and Prabhupada translated this. Uttama means transcendental subject matter. You cannot learn it. Just like if you purchase, he gave this example, a pharmacology book. Maybe you want to be a pharmacist, so you go, you get this pharmacology book from a bookseller's shop and you read it at home, but it doesn't mean that you can become a pharmacist. You may have some knowledge, but you cannot legitimately be called a pharmacist. You have to go to the proper school, get the proper teacher, get your proper credential. So, therefore, vignartam sagarum eva bigasat, you must. Here also we see Krishna in the beginning was talking to Arjuna, like friends. But then Arjuna could understand, we're talking, we're like friends. So friends will talk, they'll discuss topics back and forth, they might even argue. They might not agree with one another and they'll kind of argue, put some logic in it. But then Arjuna could understand that he wasn't getting to the conclusion. We're talking like friends, but we cannot come to a conclusion. At least he couldn't come to the conclusion. So therefore, Arjuna surrendered. He became convinced first of Krishna's divinity, that here is Krishna, my friend, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And suddenly that put a shift in the relationship, and Arjuna surrenders. So, he could understand because of this casual behavior, this casual friendship, that he was affected with karpanya dosha, deviating from his duty. He was supposed to fight, he didn't want to do it. And deviations. And he considers, why am I deviating? And he understood why he was deviating, and therefore he was surrendered into Krishna. So in a position of perplexity, when we're perplexed about something, then we must approach the bona fide spiritual master or his representative. That is the process, the Vedic process. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand. Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct disciple, says, do not hear from a person who is not a Vaishnava. Of course, we're talking about spiritual knowledge here, like if your car breaks down, we're not talking about, go to a Vaishnava. Of course, if he's a bona fide mechanic Vaishnava, that's good, but we're specifically inquiring about spiritual topics. Do not hear from a person who is not a Vaishnava. One must become a Vaishnava, otherwise the so-called ideas and interpretations have no value. See, somebody who's not a Vaishnava, they don't have any allegiance to Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. They don't have a connection with the Guru. So they can say anything, and they probably will say anything. They're, I think that, Prabhupada would often point out, the minute somebody says, I think that, he said, I think that was the beginning of fall down. So then he gave the example of Dr. Radhakrishna. So Dr. Radhakrishna very kindly facilitated Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America. But Dr. Radhakrishna was an impersonalist. And actually at one point it was told how the students of Dr. Radhakrishna, they actually became attracted to hearing from Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Radhakrishna. He could sense this attraction. And Srila Prabhupada was directly contradicting what Dr. Radhakrishna was teaching. So then Dr. Radhakrishna said to Srila Prabhupada, okay, you just chant kirtan, no more speaking. So this, Dr. Radhakrishna had so many works, and in one of his writings he mentioned that the Bhagavad Gita is a mental speculation. So Prabhupada said, in a kind of, Prabhupada sometimes could speak in a delightfully sarcastic manner. So he's surpassing all the acharyas who appeared in South India. Ramanuja Acharya, Madhavacharya, Nimbarkacharya, they all appeared in South India. Vishnu Swami appeared in South India. Shankaracharya appeared in South India. South India is so blessed. And Dr. Radhakrishna also appeared in South India. But he's decrying all the Acharya. He's saying, Bhagavad Gita is a mental speculation. So he also interpreted the Gita in a different ways, and he gave the example. Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru, that, you know, you should surrender unto me. And Dr. Radhakrishna, Prabhupada says, Dr. Radhakrishna, he's saying, it's not to Krishna. Krishna is saying directly that, man mana bhava mad bhakto, unto me. But Dr. Radhakrishna is saying, not to Krishna. So this defect will be there unless one is sadachar sampana vyaishnava, self-realized, one who knows the truth by receiving the truth from the bona fide realized speaker in the line of disciplic succession. And therefore, Sanatana Goswami says, our first guru is Krishna, and Arjuna is understanding Bhagavad Gita directly from Krishna. And after understanding Bhagavad Gita from him, Arjuna accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are some of the thoughts about this verse. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned Shankaracharya, that we all kind of know, we grew up hearing how Shankaracharya mentioned this, you know, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. Even when we didn't even know who Shankaracharya was or what a Mayavadi was, you know, Prabhupada was still giving us this knowledge and information, you know, so it would sink into our consciousness. So Sri Adi Shankaracharya was walking with his disciples along a street in Varanasi, and he came across this aged scholar, and the fellow was just sitting there on the street repeatedly reciting the rules of Sanskrit grammar. So Adi Shankaracharya went up to him. He took some pity on the guy, and he went up to him. Don't waste your time on grammar. You know, you're an old man. Just turn your mind to God. Worship him in adoration. And only that will save you from this vicious cycle of birth and death. So this hymn, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam. Worship Govinda, worship Govinda. Govinda Bhaja Mudha Mate, worship Govinda, O fool. Sampapte Sanihite Kale, at your time of death, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dukrana Karane, rules of grammar will not save you. So, although he was giving teachings of Mayavad, he understood, and that was reflected in this verse. And from that verse, after he chanted that, he spoke that verse, then there's other ones that he spoke following that verse. So it said he sang 12 other verses. It's called Dvadasamajanam Jarika Sotra. It's a hymn which is a bunch of 12 verses blossoms. So, This Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam is also known as Moha Mudgara. So this Moha Mudgara, it means hammer to shatter the illusion. So we would all like to have a hammer to shatter our illusion, hopefully. Sometimes we may think, yes, I'd like to be out of illusion, but maybe not too quickly, you know. But a hammer, when you shatter something, it's instant, it's finished. So if we chant this verse, Bhajagovindam, we are requesting, you know, just worship Govinda. Only Govinda can shatter this illusion. And what is this illusion that, you know, I'm just body? And we don't see Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's an illusion. But by the mercy of the disciplic succession that was taught so clearly to us by Srila Prabhupada, this transmission of knowledge through the disciplic succession, we have the opportunity of that illusion being shattered in our hearts. The real knowledge of Atma and Paramatma, distinction between water, matter and spirit. We have been given this Atma Tattva by Srila Prabhupada through the disciplic succession. spiritual knowledge. So, if there is something anybody would like to correct, contribute,